The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've got my coffee. I'm sorry you don't. I would share it with you. I can take the cover off.
No.
Okay. All right. This is Lynn.
And Bev.
And together we are
Stuff.
And we're with you every Thursday morning, mm-hmm. WTBR 89.7 FM and...
Oh, WSBR from Lee, 88.1. Hey.
Hey. We're growing.
We're growing, yeah.
Hey, Pittsfield, Lee, who knows next, Washington?
Beckett.
Or, I mean, state.
Oh. Beckett?
Is there a radio station in Beckett? Well, we could make one.
I'm pretty sure there is one.
Right? So you, too, can have a radio show.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. All you have to do is... All you have to do...
She's looking under the table. I don't think that's where you'll find it.
All you have to do is contact the station...
With an idea.
And they'll meet with you and let you know if it's good or if it sucks.
They won't tell you it sucks.
Well, they'll say no thank you, which means it sucks.
They won't even tell you at that same time. You have to wait.
No, that's true. And then you meet with the board...
And they have to. Yeah, then you have to give them a show just to see if it's going to work.
Yeah, you have to tell them what you'd like to do. And
believe it or not, they let us work.
I know. We've been here a long time.
Yeah.
And we can tell you that there are several shows.
There's quite a few, yeah.
There's several shows. And if you have a show idea, it's public radio. You can pretty much do what you want with a few exceptions, I think.
Don't take ours.
No, don't take ours. You can't sell yourself. You can't sell anything.
No money.
You know, you don't come in here and promote yourself. You just come in here and have a good time, whatever it is you are interested in and you would like to share with other people.
And it runs the gamut, so don't worry about it. If you got something and you think it's stupid or it's not informational or it's not fun or it's not legal...
Well, it has to be legal.
Come and tell them anyway.
It has to be legal. So on one of our last shows, we ran over a little bit.
Yep.
And we did not have an opportunity to give the answer to our true or false.
So we'll do
so
it again.
So do we want to repeat the same one?
Well, I've got three more. We can do six.
Okay. So let's do the one that we did not give the answer to.
Right.
I know you've all been struggling all week with bated breath. Wondering what the answers are.
The speed of light in a vacuum is exactly 300,000 kilometers per second. Or Venus rotates in the same direction as most planets. Or Mercury is the only metal that is liquid at room temperature. One is true, the rest are false.
And the true one is C, Mercury.
Dang you, woman!
I knew that. I know Venus does not rotate... like the other planets.
They are clockwise, we are counterclockwise.
Right. Something like that.
Yep.
And the speed of light, I had no idea. But Mercury, I knew because as a child, I remember the thermometer breaking. And the mercury was on our hardwood floor, the little tiny balls of mercury.
Yeah.
And I sat on the floor...
Played with them?
took the broken thermometer piece, the glass piece, and kind of played with the little balls of mercury, pushing them into one another, because when they begin to touch, they get sucked. One little ball of mercury gets sucked into the other ball, like really quick, like that. And I played with the mercury, it's toxic.
And that's what it is, folks. That's what it was. Now we know why she is. No.
Because it's room temperature and it's a liquid.
And as when she's room temperature, watch out.
All right. You have the new one.
The new ones. These are brand-diddy new.
What?
A group of flamingos is called a flamboyance. Mount Everest grows taller every year due to tectonic shifts. The first electronic computer weighed over 30 tons. Now, the gist of this one is different than normal. They're either all true or all false.
Oh, my gosh, because I thought I had it.
Ooh.
I thought I had one true and two false. All right, all true or all false.
Yep.
I'll be darned. Mount Everest could grow?
And if anybody wants to call in about the vacuum being exactly 300 kilometers per second, I can tell you it's a trick question because it's not exactly 300. It's more like 277,000.
So it's close.
So it's close.
So don't call.
Yeah. So you
and
don't
anyway,
have to
if you call,
it.
We're not here because we're pre-recorded.
Yeah.
So you can't even call and get mad or challenge. You can email us. We have an email.
Stuffingforus@gmail.com.
You got it. And I have Zig Ziglar. I really liked Zig Ziglar.
Okay.
If you want to read
a cool
book, he's passed.
Oh.
And no, he didn't know. He didn't care. He didn't care. He didn't know me. I did see him speak one time, though. He's excellent. He was excellent. So he's a motivational speaker. He's a... success person. You know what I mean? He failed.
So
he said, people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily.
Okay.
He has some really good books that you can read that are very cool, very motivational, very upbeat. His true story about his life and his failures and what happened and what he did. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you can watch him on YouTube or something, I think.
The early bird might get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese.
Oh. Do you think that they would do that after they see the other little one in the trap? Really?
I think the noise would scare them off.
But once...
A snap.
Yes, but once the snap is over and the other little mouse is kind of curious and his little friend has seen his demise, then the little friend who's hungry will just go over and eat the cheese while the other little guy is you know, preparing to go to that little mouse house in the sky. Don't you think we should have some background?
I should have left that one out.
We should have some background music.
Okay. Ooh. All right. No more of those. Okay.
You know that there's a machine that prints brick roads?
Yes. I've seen the article.
Have you seen the video?
No.
I haven't either.
That would be something to see.
I see a picture here. I'm on the website called Best Life. We've used this before.
Okay.
Not this particular thing, but Best Life. And it does show a machine. It's amazing. It's about 8 feet wide, this thing, that actually backs up and lays the brick herringbone pattern for the road out in a sheet.
That's kind of like the stuff you stick to your walls, except These are for your road.
And this is really, really wide. It kind of looks like, what's the truck that picks up the garbage and it's It's wide. It's a It's a shovel. It's a big shovel on the truck. It's one of those trucks with a big, long shovel. Yeah. It's like a plow.
We'll call it a shovel.
That's what this looks like, and it's really, really cool. It says...
Is it on a roll?
Well, it says you could get the same... this is using a Tiger Stone Road printing machine. After workers...
Why don't they use it instead of filling up the potholes?
I know. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
That would look really cool.
And that would be kind of so much faster.
Artsy. So it says here, after workers load bricks into the hopper, the machine arranges them and lays them out in the desired pattern, just like a printer rolls out paper.
I think that's fabulous.
Yep. For more information on the world's most helpful machines, you can go to 30 Inventions that are way older than you probably thought. I should do that someday. I'll write that down.
I like that idea.
I mean, I'm not going to do the bricks.
Right.
I like the website sound. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
My driveway could be redone.
Do you know that this brick thing that's coming out of this machine not only has the bricks in a herringbone pattern, but it also has the sides laying down straight so you have a frame. And it's all coming out of the machine at the same time. Isn't that cool? That'd be really cool to watch. Has anybody ever seen that? You should let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barry, let us know. You know these things.
Okay.
Okay.
Healthy plant hydration. Water settling at the bottom of pots can lead to root rot. To combat this problem, cut up old sponges and put them in the bottom of the pot. The sponges retain moisture and create necessary air space. They also help prevent water from flushing out the bottom. The sponge acts as a water reserve and keeps soil moist longer.
It's a really good idea.
I think I'm going to try that.
Yeah, I like that idea. I put stones on the bottom.
I've done that.
But I like the sponge because the water stays there but doesn't rot the plant.
Right, because there's an air space.
Good idea. So there is a cave in Vietnam. It's the largest cave in the world. It is 2.5 miles long with some passages that are as wide as 300 feet. And it's got places where it's more than 600 feet high. So just to let you know here, stunningly... That's enough space to fit an entire New York City block of 40-story buildings.
What?
Isn't that something? And it does have a picture, and it's beautiful. And the people in the picture are itty-bitty little tiny. They look so tiny.
I would love to be able to live in something like that. Just
in
for
the
a
cave?
While. Just for a while.
Like
a
an overnight?
Yeah.
A vacation?
Yeah.
I wonder if they do that in some caves where they, I don't know, they're protected, so I don't know if they'd have, like, Boy Scouts go in and spend the night. Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's pretty
cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay, if you clean sneakers with a toothbrush and toothpaste, all you need is an old toothbrush and a little toothpaste, white toothpaste, by the way, to get your old sneakers looking like new. Non-gel white toothpaste works great for cleaning white-soled sneakers. Colored toothpaste may stain rather than clean. Leave the toothpaste on the shoes for about 10 minutes and then wipe it off with a damp towel.
I wonder if it's really good to get whitening toothpaste, too. The ones that say whitening.
I don't know.
That makes sense because toothpaste is an abrasive.
But somebody could say you have great teeth or you have great feet.
And they could say your feet smell good. Right? If you use toothpaste, your sneakers are going to smell good, so your feet may smell good.
I suppose so.
Maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe we should wash our feet with toothpaste.
Maybe we should clean the inside of the shoes with toothpaste.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Hey, maybe you're onto something there. Do you know there's lickable wallpaper?
No.
Yes, there is lickable wallpaper. It says here, if you're considering redecorating your home and you want your space to be both tasteful and tasty, you may want to try lickable wallpaper. This guy, you know who inspired it?
No.
Oh, you know who it is.
No.
Willy Wonka.
Oh.
This delectable decor totally does exist, although it's marketed more for theme parties than for everyday use. So the picture is wallpaper with different candies on the wallpaper, and I guess you would lick that candy in order to taste what it is.
I can see it, and I don't want to see it.
Would you do it?
No.
I don't think I would do it either.
No.
Oh, no, I don't think I would do
it. I'd take a lot of pictures of the ones who would, though.
Yeah, that'd be funny. All right.
Double sandpaper duct tape.
Hmm.
This guy, Chuck Merchant, says, I do a lot of finish sanding freehand without a sandpaper block, so I can smooth edges and get into nooks and crannies. But the finer grits are usually bonded to thinner paper, and at least for me, the paper is too thin and ends up tearing long before the grit wears out. So I apply duct tape to the back of the sandpaper. The sandpaper is still flexible enough to sand a tight radius, and it's far more durable.
That's a really great idea. Make it a little thicker.
Just use a super strong sandpaper like a shoe shine rag.
That's a really good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Merchant. So, there is a lake that is bubblegum pink.
I've seen pictures.
It's called Lake Hiller. It's in Australia. It's also called Hutt Lagoon. And it is a candy-like dream world when you look at this pink lake. The lake and the lagoon are bubblegum pink. The coloring is thought to be due to the high levels of salt in the water. And for the incredible waterfronts, that's some more stuff about something else. But
can you go in the water?
It doesn't say.
Would you turn pink if you went in the water?
It doesn't say.
I want to know.
Well, it's called Lake Hillier. H-I-L-L-I-E-R, or Hutt Lagoon. And I'm looking at the picture, and it's right off of the ocean. It's the ocean and the beach, and then if you go in a little, there's the lake. So it's really, really close to the ocean. I don't see any houses around it, but it looks like there's a beach there.
It's a wonder the ocean doesn't dilute it.
Yeah, it's real close to the ocean, really close. There's just maybe some sand dunes that block it. And then, oops, oh, shoot.
She lost something.
Yeah, I did. All right.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah. I'd like to know.
I'd like to see that in Australia.
I have something that I have been looking for forever, and finally I'm going to try this. Effectively and safely sweep up glass. Everyone who has ever swept the floor with a standard broom and dustpan knows about that annoying line of dust. It's a line that just won't disappear, and no matter how many times you try and sweep it up. To get rid of this annoying line, simply tape the front of the dustpan to the floor with blue painter's tape so no residue will be left on the floor.
Uh-huh.
It will seal and cover the gap between the floor and your pan. This handy hint also works great for sweeping up more menacing items like glass. The dustpan and tape combo will ensure that all of those little shards will be in the pan and not on the floor. And you can tear it off if you want to and throw it away. And then when you want to do it again,
do a new piece of tape.
Yep.
That's a real good idea.
I'm going to try that because I've always got that line of dust that you could just never get.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I have had times when I've broken things, and days later we'll find a shard somewhere.
Ooh.
Little tiny one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they hurt. They hurt.
They do hurt.
When you step on those things. That's a very good idea. So there is this place, let me see here. It's in Milan. It's called Bosco Verticale, or maybe in Italian it's Bosco Verticale. I don't know.
Wow.
It's a vertical forest. And it's a cool picture.
A vertical forest.
Uh-huh. It looks like a, well, I'll read it. It looks like an art installation from the future, but actually it's quite real. The twin high-rises, they're high-rise apartment buildings, were completed in 2014 and include nearly 500 medium and large trees, 300 small trees, 5,000 shrubs, and 11,000 plants, as well as more than 100 residential apartments. What's more, they're incredibly helpful for the environment. Each year, the towers can transform approximately 44,000 pounds of carbon dioxide into oxygen. And it is a very tall, the one I'm seeing, one apartment building, and the whole thing is just covered with trees and bushes, and it looks like everybody has a deck, and these things are all planted on the decks.
They plant the plants and trees on the towers, and they just let it grow like ivy on your wall or something?
It looks like every apartment has a balcony, and they have planted all of this on the balconies, and they've been there a while because they're all mature, so the whole building looks like pretty soon it will be totally covered with trees and bushes and plants.
Come and find me if you can.
I wonder if living there and being outside is you can feel that there's better oxygen.
Hmm.
Or being on your patio or your deck. If you can breathe better, you'd have to go to Milan.
Somebody had nothing else to do.
I know. I know. I love that. Oh, I can't wait to do the next one.
One simple way to keep your car clean is to cut scraps of old carpet to fit on the floor as mats. We found our carpet scraps for less than $2 at Home Depot. And when the DIY carpet scraps inevitably get all dirty with mushy winter snow or summer sand, you could either give them a wash or toss them out and make some more. Do not put these do-yourself car mats on the driver's side of the car unless grippers are attached on the bottoms to ensure that the mat doesn't slip forward while you're driving.
True.
That's important.
My mats on the driver's side have two holes, and in my car, on the floor of the car, are these little twisty things, and you line the holes up with the twisty things, and they turn and lock.
Oh, my gosh.
So the mat can't move. Isn't that cool?
That is wonderful.
Yeah. I thought that
somebody was
cool.
Thinking.
I like the idea of just using them, get them all filthy, and throw them away.
Yeah.
All right. There are professional apologers.
Oh, boy.
If you have a knack for expressing regrets and are good at making others feel better about the inconvenient or unpleasant situation of apologizing, then you might be perfectly suited for a career as a professional apologizer.
Mea culpa, mea culpa.
There you go. You could get the job. Companies, get this, like Southwest Airlines, hire qualified candidates to deal with irate customers, which means that you can get paid to offer effective apologies. You have to be able to assess the circumstances, understand what the issue is, what led to the issue, and turn it around to a response that the customer can relate to. The hiring manager told this to, So you can get a job, maybe even with Southwest Airlines or any other company.
Before I speak to you today, Mr. So-and-so, will you not hit me first and let me explain what I'm doing? And it's not my fault. It's all their fault. So
I didn't hear helping them apologize. I didn't hear you apologize. Yeah, I wonder how they hire somebody for that. They interview you on the phone, maybe, and then give you scenarios, and you have to.
I don't
you
know.
You must respond.
But Do you get to fly on the plane, or do you get...
I think it's for people who call in.
Oh.
And you have you ever called a company and they've calmed you down completely?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
The kindness is just, it's like a warm blanket.
Who is pleasured that I have to speak with today?
Yeah, they're just so nice. They're nice. All right.
I don't trust them.
Well,
they're taught to do
it. They're taught to do it, right. They want to come. But then you need to know, is the outcome going to be something that pleases you? And if it is, then it's all worth it, right?
As long as it's got M-O-N-E-Y on it. Here's how to get dents out of wood.
Love your priorities.
Dents in wood surfaces can be annoying, but fret not, they can be fixed. Simply soak a washcloth in water and wring it out a bit so it's not sopping wet. Put the damp washcloth on the affected area. The water will wick through the wood, and that's fine. Now, with your iron on its highest setting, place it on the damp washcloth over the affected area and make small movements back and forth and in circles. Press down firmly and continue until your washcloth is dry. It won't take long to evaporate. At this point, the wood fibers are absorbing the water and should expand back to where they were originally. And you can continue the process by repeating. Get the thing wet, put it on, use your iron as many times as you need to do it.
I would be so afraid I'd wreck my floor or my table or... Oh.
I'm just thinking of what kind of wood are they talking about.
Yeah, if it were
mahogany or something, I don't think I'd try it.
Is it finished wood? Is it just raw wood?
Yeah. So maybe it's not so good. But if you're using just plain plywood...
Or if you have something you're okay if it doesn't work. You just don't want to ruin it.
Right.
Even more. I can imagine on a finished hardwood floor, would
it
take the polyurethane off? You know, that thin coat of poly?
Yeah,
that'd be scary. All righty. Have you ever heard of a quokkas?
Spell it.
Quokkas?
I've heard of it, but I don't. Off the top of my head,
it's a cute little animal.
I think it's
pronounced quokkas. Yes.
It always smiles.
A quokkas looks like it's smiling all the time. It says they're not well known. It says...
they're Australian?
Yes. Yes. It's simple. Thanks to their bone structure, quokkas always appear to be smiling. You can find these little marsupials on the small islands off the west coast of Western Australia. They are adorable.
They are cute.
They look like a little pet, like you'd want them for a pet.
And they're wild animals, people.
I know. So if you go to Australia and you go see the quokkas, be careful.
Support a tension rod with water bottle caps. My wife sews kids' clothes and uses a curtain tension rod to hang them in a closet. This comes from Rodney, believe it or not, Sheets. She explained to me one day that the pole was frequently slipping and falling down, so I searched and found an object that could be screwed into the wall and would fit around the ends of the tension rod. Water bottle caps.
Ah!
I use drywall screws to secure two water bottle caps into the studs on the closest walls, and then I mounted the tension rod inside the bottle caps. The lip on each cap provides just enough support for the tension rod so it doesn't fall down.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I think so. I've tried using tension rods, and they do fall down a lot.
Mm-hmm. I learned something about tension rods, too.
What?
If you put the tension rod up on a wall that's sheetrock, you know what, though? This was in it was a double-wide mobile home in Florida. So I don't know what the walls were made out of now that I'm thinking of it. But the tension of the rod, when you kept making it tighter and tighter so it'd stay.
Yeah.
Puckered the wall because it wasn't on a stud.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And in Florida, there's a lot of elderly people, so there's not many studs. Well, wait. There are studs that are elderly. You know what? I want to retract that. I retract that comment. There are lots of elderly people who are studs and studettes. There you go. Okay. So there is...
I'm glad
do
it's
we
not
need to take a break?
Me.
Is it a break time?
No, but oh. Almost. I'm just glad it wasn't me.
A rainbow mountain range is out there. If you want to see something really cool, check this out. Just Google Rainbow Mountain Range, Northwest China.
Okay.
It is a sight worthy to be seen. It's like a Dr. Seuss book. It is called, the Rainbow Mountain is called Zhangyai Densai Landform Geological Park. So, just Google it.
Okay.
The range is striped with an array of colors, which are the result of sandstone and minerals that have been pressed together. This is like a watercolor painting.
Oh, my word. It really is.
It's absolutely stunning.
It looks like the rock place there that, what do you call it?
She's thinking hard. The rock place in California, out west?
Yeah.
Painted
rock.
Painted desert.
Painted desert.
It is, I think it's prettier. It's gorgeous. This is gorgeous. So if you're hanging around, you're just kind of searching on your phone or your computer, just check out the Rainbow Mountain Range in China.
Cool.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Real pretty.
Do you shovel your yard or does Mark do it?
Oh, Mark does it. Yeah, I don't know. Every single time we need to shovel, I'm not feeling well. I need to stay in bed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's great. He gets up early in the he gets up early. He gets out there and he'll even, he has a snowblower. He'll do it even during the beginning of the snowstorm because he wants to keep up on it. So he'll do it maybe two times. And God bless him. He was actually at one point doing three driveways because we had.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's good at that. Yeah, I don't care about that. I'd probably drive through it or just stay home.
Now that it's up to me.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
I found out you can coat your snow shovel with car wax and it stops the snow sticking or freezing in clumps on the shovel. It can make the job even easier. You can avoid the issue by first coating your shovel with car wax before heading out to clear your driveway and walking paths. The tip works best with metal shovels.
Oh.
Follow the application instructions on the car wax package. Generally, car wax is applied in a thin layer using a damp cloth allowed to dry and then buffed off with a dry cloth. This leaves the shovel clean and lubricated so the snow and ice don't stick.
I've also heard of spraying your shovel with Pam.
Huh.
Yeah, so it slides off. I don't know how long it stays on there.
Right.
You can also, if you have a very long extension cord, bring your hair dryer out, and you can just hair dryer your driveway.
She said that with a straight face. Actually. Maybe they have these ones that look like hair dryers, but they're bigger.
Ah, yeah. All you need to do is dry the ground where your tires are going to go.
I thought about buying a carport type thing that you put up, but then I wouldn't be able to twist my car around in order to get out because I pull in and then I have to back out.
Right.
And I don't. Well, I'll figure it out.
Oh, or you could find somebody to plow it for you. Or not. Or not. Or stay in.
And never go anywhere.
Stay in. Is it a break? Is it a break time? Are we taking a break? It's still not time for a break. Why do I feel like time is flying by?
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Mexicans, Bigfoot, Koreans,
yep.
Garbage Pail Kids.
We got something for just about everybody.
Hipsters.
WTBR.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying. Anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff,
television.
We can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
All right.
You know what I forgot to do? I do feel better. And I said television because we could do a television show, you and I.
Oh, God.
I know. So I forgot to do a quote at the beginning of the show.
Well, have at
it. So I have one from Abraham Lincoln. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. Wow.
Six hours to sharpen the axe?
Well, he's saying he's going to be so well prepared that it's only going to take an hour rather than the whole six. He's going to be prepared very well. So I think what it means is preparedness is an important thing.
Do you know he wasn't always a serious guy?
No, I don't know anything really other than he's got this really cool hat. No, I'm kidding. No, I did not know that.
He used to be a jokester.
Do you know any of his jokes?
Not off the top of my head, but I can find them.
Okay.
So maybe I'll do that. I'll do a thing on Abraham Lincoln.
That would be cool. Have you ever gone to Washington, D.C. and saw the Lincoln Monument?
Yep.
Isn't that amazingly
it is,
huge?
It almost makes you cry.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. It's just one of those things you stand in front of and you're just in awe.
You feel very, very small.
Very small. It's just really in awe. And I know he was a big man. I know he was tall. I know he had big hands. But the statue's got really big hands. Anyway, we have a true or false for you.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we do.
A group of flamingos is called the flamboyants. Mount Everest grows taller every year due to electronic shifts. The first electronic computer weighed over 30 tons. Those are all true or they're all false.
Okay. We will have the answer for you at the end of our show.
Which is coming up.
Which is coming up. That's right. So there's dolphins.
Yes.
There's also wolfins.
What?
Wolfins, W-H-O-L, fins.
Never heard of that.
In 1985, a bottlenose dolphin and a false killer whale got into a little frisky and produced a baby. The female offspring was named...
How big was that whale?
Kekamayalu. It was deemed to be a wolfin and is the only known living hybrid of the two species. However, she did produce three babies of her own with a bottlenose dolphin, of which still lives with her at Sea Life Park on the island of Oahu in Hawaii.
So this is recent.
This is 1985.
Holy cow.
A bottlenose dolphin and a false killer whale.
All right, I got to ask, if this is a whale and a dolphin, was she consensual?
Well, you know, dolphins always sound like they're saying yes. Yes! Yes!
Stop.
And he was a killer whale, so maybe he threatened her.
Oh, my gosh.
But I never knew that. I don't know if the... It doesn't seem like the dolphin is still alive. I don't know if dolphins... I don't know how long they live, but that's interesting.
I'm wondering how she could possibly give birth to something like that.
Well, she did.
It was big.
It was little. I'm sure it was little when it was born. Little.
Are whales born little?
I don't know. I've never...
They get born and then they start swimming alongside mommy.
I guess they
mommy.
Do, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, kind of like a horse.
Or a giraffe.
No, well, you know, they come out and they're
away.
Well,
we're
they come out and they're stumbling, and then within the next couple of minutes, they're walking.
Okay.
All right.
We got to back.
We are. We're back. Okay. We're back.
Fix wobbly furniture with a penny. Need to shim a wobbly bench or table, but don't have time to run to the home center for furniture teeth? No worries. Just reach for your pocket change. You can use a coin to shim wobbly furniture in a pinch. Use hot glue to attach the coin to the problem area, adding additional coins if necessary. Coins work well as a temporary fix because they come in a variety of thicknesses and cost less than a dollar.
That is something every restaurant should know.
Oh, please.
Because they always put folded up cardboard or coasters underneath the table leg.
And it
if
doesn't.
It's wobbling and it doesn't work.
And it wobbles the other way.
And it's almost like you need to bring the pennies with you and say, here.
Put this underneath there.
But you could probably use crazy glue as well.
Hmm.
Just glue it to the bottom. What an easy fix. Or
maybe just the glue itself would be enough.
Or the glue, or a checker, or a Scrabble letter.
Or your toe. Okay.
Well, you'd have to stay there a long time or lose your toe.
Okay.
That's funny. I like it. Professional face peelers.
Sorry, they're not peelers.
They're feelers. I made a mistake.
Okay.
It's a professional face feeler.
Why would anybody?
You can't be afraid of getting up close and personal when you're a professional face peeler. It's also called a sensory scientist. Oh. I wonder if you have to have a degree to be a sensory scientist. These pros touch other people's faces after they've used products like razors or lotions, and then they give their expert opinions on how the products can be improved.
I was just wondering how many times you got slapped.
I think it's part of a
beauty retinue kind of thing.
Well, it's research. It says usually a part-time job for those in the business. The professionals tend to work just 2 or 3 hours a day and 2 or 3 days a week. They make to $10 to $25 an hour for their touchy-feely know-how, and this is according to ABC News.
So they had to have already said, yes, I'm willing to do
this.
Yes.
I think you think about, okay, ABC News, maybe they have their news program in the morning, which does some fun stuff. They have somebody on. They're going to take somebody from the audience, and they're going to shave him with a special shaving cream. And then they have a professional face feeler on the show to be able to feel both sides of the face to see which one is smoother. And then they go home and have lunch, and they've made $25 an hour, which really isn't that much.
I don't think it would take an hour.
Well, you got to get there. You got to get to the studio. You have to have lunch. Maybe you take an Uber or a taxi. And then, of course, you know, the hand sanitizer. I mean, you probably go through a lot of hand sanitizer.
We're not really serious in here, are we? A lot.
Would you be a professional hand feeler?
No.
Face feeler? I wouldn't either. Not me either. All right.
Okay. All right. This is important. This one is a good one. Bring dead Sharpies back to life. Do you use Sharpies at all?
I do.
All right. When it comes to workshop problems, dried out Sharpies aren't major, but they are annoying when you can't find another one to mark your measurement or project notes. To bring your permanent marker back to life, simply remove the back from the marker instead of the bottom, I guess. This will be different for each brand of permanent marker. For Sharpies, simply remove the back nib. Next, deposit a few drops of isopropyl rubbing alcohol onto the felt material inside. Shake the marker a bit to ensure the rubbing alcohol is absorbed. It's the solvent that the ink is mixed with that dries out first, making the pigment unable to flow. Once the felt absorbs the rubbing alcohol for a couple of minutes, the marker will be practically good as new. So you have to take the Sharpie apart.
From the top, because it said the nib.
The nib. And it's got some foam stuff inside of it.
And then put the alcohol on that.
Yep.
I've done that before where I've dried one out.
You really?
Oh, I've had some dried out, but I've never tried that. Oh, I mean, I've had it happen where a marker is... I wonder if it works with all marker.
I don't know. I wonder if they run with dry erase markers, too.
Oh, those I've had dry out as well. And highlighters. I've had dry out.
Old highlighters.
Probably because I've left the old highlighters. I still use a highlighter. You don't use a highlighter?
No. I don't have anything important enough to highlight.
I get that. I use it for my work. And I highlight in my Bible, too. So they tend to sometimes dry out. And I think, I don't know if it's because I've left the cover off or not. But it's amazing when you get a new one because it's boom.
Yeah.
It's just, whoa, that's amazing that I've been using this other highlighter and it's just dull. And the new one is just, what did I say?
Boom.
No, I didn't say boom. I said boom. Do you know that there's a space cloud that smells like rum?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Out in space, there's a cloud called Sagittarius B2 that's made up of ethyl formate. That doesn't sound too crazy until you find out that ethyl formate is what gives rum its recognizable aroma. That means the space cloud may very well smell like rum.
I wonder if you could break off pieces of it and eat it. If it would taste like rum.
Do you put rum in food?
I haven't.
Oh, I just wonder, what do they put rum in? No, brandy or whiskey goes in beans. What? Rum cake.
Oh, okay. Like yeah, I thought cake. You were going to ask me what do I do with my rum.
What do you do with it? It is,
you just put other stuff in it.
Like what?
Like Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Oh, rum coke.
Or ginger ale.
I see you.
With the captain.
I see. I got it.
It's good stuff.
I got it. All righty.
Use a ceramic mug as a sharpening stone. Now, I would never have thought of this. The bottom of most ceramic coffee cup mugs have a flat, unglazed ring that is the perfect surface for giving that dull knife or blade a quick sharpening. And if you find yourself in need of sharpening a utility knife, pocket blade, or scissors, and don't have access to a sharpening stone, you can simply flip over a ceramic coffee mug and use the outer edge at the bottom, the non-glazed part. It says it's probably not going to last very long, and you should get something else to hone your knife. But
it's good in a pinch.
It's good in a pinch.
You know what I think? There's times when I've been out and I've had a nail chip,
and I'm out somewhere, and it's really irritating because it's this piece that I'm rubbing my finger on, and it's a broken piece.
Yeah.
And I'll go under a table or something and try to find somewhere where I can, like, rub that down. And now I know I can just pick up a mug if I'm in a restaurant. I could just be talking to someone and rub my finger along the bottom of the mug.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it's hard to find a surface when you're sitting in a restaurant.
I'd be afraid to touch because it might be gum or something.
Oh, that's true. Thank you for sharing that with me. Now I'll never, ever, ever, ever do it again. So, hey, there's a candle holder that melts your candle into a new candle.
I think you've said that before.
No.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, shall I?
Go ahead.
Anyone who finds themselves going through a lot of candles might want to start using the Rekindle candle holder. I don't remember talking about this.
I don't remember it.
It's the Rekindle candle holder by British designer Benjamin Shine. As your candle burns in one of these holders, the wax falls into a hollow base, which fills up to create a brand new candle.
So is this a candle that'll be forever?
I'm going to look it up because I'm on Benjamin Shine's website. Oh, it says not found, error 404. Aww. It doesn't exist anymore, Benjamin.
Well,
I'm so sorry, Benjamin.
Just look up double candle
or
something.
Oh, wait a minute. Benjamin Shine, Products and Inventions. Here it is, Rekindle. And it's just a picture. I see. It's just a picture. It doesn't show how you can order any. Oh, it's just about him.
Would you do that if you could?
I would try that. I think it'd be fun. I think it's more of a fun thing for me. I don't burn a lot of candles, but...
Oh, I do.
I think it'd be really fun. It looks like a regular candle holder. Silver on the top, silver on the bottom. It's about 8 inches tall. The middle is hollow. It looks like glass. The candle's on top. The wax drips down into the hollow middle and hardens. And then when you're done with your top candle, you take it off and you have a candle in the hollow middle.
You'd have to burn it.
And
a lot.
He shows how this is done, and he shows the candle all made. He has other inventions as well. Benjamin Shine is his name.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you don't have a sieve in your sink and you have
a sieve,
wet sponges,
a sieve,
yeah, always end up. They never dry properly and become moldy and smelly. Here's a better for your laundry room solution. Screw a sieve to the back of the sink to hold the sponges. They dry nicely, they're out of the way, and they last forever. The sieve, it's like when you have macaroni in your bowl and you're trying to put water through it so it gets...
Mm-hmm.
That's a sieve.
So isn't that kind of big?
No, you can get small ones.
And you hook it to your sink?
You hook it to your sink. You screw it onto the side of the sink.
And then you put your sponge or your soap or whatever.
Inside
you screw it onto your sink?
Yep. That's what they're saying here.
Is it a metal sink? It must be. Maybe you could do it with a suction cup.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. So I was looking up Rekindle, and it's showing me books and stuff. I'm really, Rekindle Candle. I'm on Amazon, and I am looking for that candle, and unfortunately, I'm not finding it here.
Okay.
So I wonder if his plan went kaput.
Maybe it just didn't take off.
Nope. Didn't light anybody's fire.
That's sad.
Nope. He waned and waxed and waned and waxed and probably didn't even get much sleep. Well.
Moving on.
Maybe he was a drip.
Oh.
butt a bump. So bad.
Do you use tea towels or you hang towels on your stove?
What's a tea towel?
It's a small towel that you can use in the kitchen.
A dish towel?
Yeah, it's like a dish towel.
The kind is just for decoration or?
Well, you can use it as like a dish towel. It's just something. Do you use them?
I don't know what a tea towel is.
No,
is it just
dish towel. Do you use
those? Yeah.
Okay. And do you loop them over the stove bar?
No, I don't.
Well, a lot of people do. The only problem is that
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anything.
No. I use them. So the problem is they slip, and they can often end up on the floor.
Okay.
And what you can do is just put a little bit of Velcro on each side.
Oh, yeah.
And they stay where they're supposed to be.
Is that just for your hands?
For your hands, or if you want to put something hot down and you put your towel down.
Why do they call it a tea towel? Is it T-E-A? T-E-E? Is it just the letter T? She's banging her head on her microphone. Well, you know what I say to you? This is what I say. Good for you that you found the information. Is there a coffee towel, too? We don't want to leave coffee out, you know? I don't know. That's grounds for divorce.
Okay. All right.
Did you even get it? It's grounds for divorce.
I'm not paying attention. I'm not listening.
Grounds for divorce because he would leave. Get it? Leave.
Okay, I can be. I got that there. Okay.
Okay. All righty then. Where are we?
Do you have anything else?
I'm trying to find where I was. Let's see. We have lots of things that we plan every single week. We never know what we're going to say, but we have lots of things that we do say when we figure out what we're going to say. So,
is it obvious, folks, that she has nothing to say? Do all of your small bottles in the refrigerator door look like to tip over after opening or closing your door? Fortunately, the answer to tidying those wayward bottles is just a recycling bin away. To keep all your condiments under control, use an empty six-pack holder to hold and organize the condiments in your refrigerator door. This organization solution is also great for transporting your condiments for a backyard barbecue or picnic.
I love it.
So you buy your soda, and it's in. You got six little things in it, and then you put that into your drawer and put in.
Huh. I like that a lot. That's a real good idea. So I just want to say before I forget that in October 19th,
yes,
at Berkshire Hills Country Club, between 10 o'clock and 3, there will be a big craft sale. Local crafters will be there selling their goods. And Berkshire Hills Country Club is on Benedict Road in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Big
cool.
craft fair.
And we will remind you later if you forget.
We will.
Because I will forget. I know
yes,
I will.
Yes. I'll remind you. Do you know we overuse the word literally?
Literally?
Yes, we do, literally. Some people throw this word around as an embellishment to intensify whatever they're trying to say.
Not figuratively, just literally?
But literally actually means actually, or in a strict sense. So
don't
if
say
you,
it's actually literally.
Well, if you say my head literally exploded, you are lying because it means actually.
Oh, my.
Literally is actually. How about that?
My head figuratively exploded.
Hey, join us again next week. Thank you.
Such a lovely day. views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.